Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We are in the midst of a five-part series on the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is based on the old Roman Creed, so it's from way back before 250 A.D. It talks about the one God and three eternal persons. First we did, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Then we did, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. Today we talk about, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let's go through the third part of the Apostles' Creed step by step. Let's pray. Father, we do pray if there's anyone watching this show who doesn't quite know who the Holy Spirit is, that You will reveal that to them now. And Lord, bring each of us that is watching this show to a deeper walk with the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, according to the New Testament, is God. In Acts chapter 5, it equates the Holy Spirit with God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, God is Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now the Lord is the Spirit. So we talk about the Holy Spirit being one of the three persons of the Trinity. And some of the cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. They think it's kind of like a force or a power or like the wind. But Ephesians says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't grieve the wind. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit talks. Well, a force doesn't talk. So we believe in one God in three eternal persons, not that there's three people on three thrones up in heaven, but three separate, distinct personalities, if you will, real persons in the Trinity. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Godhead. Next words. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. First, let's talk about the word holy. The New Testament was written in Greek. The word holy in Greek means set apart, separate from. We're different from the world. Now, a skeptic could say, what do you mean the Christian church is holy? What about the Spanish Inquisition? What about the religious wars in Europe in the 1500s where Christians killed each other? What do you mean it's holy? Well, there are warts in church history, but I would say, warts and all, no single institution has done more good for this planet than the Christian church. More hospitals have been founded, orphanages have been founded, schools have been founded, world hunger programs have come about. Overwhelmingly, it is a holy Christian church. I mean, I visited India just once. I went to Calcutta, and I saw the nuns of Mother Teresa's order picking up the sick and dying off the streets. And somebody told me, you know, before Mother Teresa's nuns got here, the Hindus would just let them lay in the street because they're getting payback. They're getting karma from a bad previous life, so you just let them suffer. The Christian church, warts and all, I think is the most overwhelmingly good institution in the history of mankind. I believe in the holy, next word, Catholic church. I'm a Lutheran, but I remember years ago a lady coming out of our church and crying. And Pastor Brock, we said Holy Catholic Church in the Creed. I said, that's the original word. Well, I'm a Lutheran. I can never come back to this church. I try to explain. The word Catholic does not mean Roman Catholic. It means universal, worldwide. So I think it's okay to say Holy Catholic Church. Some of your congregations say Christian Church. I think that's okay too. But the original says, I believe in the Holy Universal. The word Catholic simply means this. Have you ever had this experience? You meet a stranger, you start talking, you discover they know Christ, and boom, you've got some instant fellowship, instant unity. That's what the word Catholic means, universal. Next word. I believe in the Holy Catholic or Christian Church. Again, in the New Testament Greek, the word church literally means the assembly. It's the gathering of people. So if your church burns down, your church didn't burn down, because your church is not the bricks, it's the people. And when you say, I believe in the Holy Catholic or Christian Church, you mean, I believe in this group of people that God has put together. And now let's ask the question, why did Jesus invent the church? We answer that by his last statement on earth, where he says to the disciples, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. That is why Jesus invented the church. Let's quickly go through each of those. The first reason Jesus invented the church was to go and get souls and save people. There's a story of a wealthy man who commissioned an artist to paint a huge canvas, and he said, I want you to paint a picture of a decaying, dying church. Well, months later, the artist comes back, brings in this big canvas, and it's the beautiful interior of a gorgeous cathedral. And the rich man got angry and said to the artist, I told you to paint me a decaying church. This is not what I asked for. And the artist said, yes, it is a decaying church. Look in the corner. And in the corner of the cathedral, the artist had painted an offering box, and on the side it said, Four World Missions, and a cobweb had grown over the slot in the top of the offering box. That's a decaying church. When we forget that the reason God put us on earth was to go, we've missed what we're here for. Go ye therefore, and the next thing he said, make disciples. He didn't say make converts, just get people to pray a prayer or just get them baptized. Make disciples. The word disciple means learner, follower. So I hope you not only go to church, join a small group Bible study. You really get discipled. We are to, number one, go. Number two, make disciples. Third reason, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate the importance of baptism. Those are our marching orders. Every Christian is to be baptized. And then he says, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. Does your church teach? Does your church have sermons on the Trinity, on salvation by grace alone, on the second coming of Christ? Does your church teach? I don't want to be critical, but there are two more liberal churches here in Minneapolis, and they now have a Sunday afternoon TV show where they put their sermons on. It is so much fluff. It's all about God is here for you. No matter what you're going through, God cares for you. All of that's true. We need to preach it. But could you teach? I've yet to hear a sermon on the Trinity. I've yet to hear a sermon on salvation by grace alone or on the second coming. So, you know, I hope you go to a church that teaches the truth of Scripture, and it's not all love, 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 love. I was two nights ago, I was going like this with a TV set. I came across the MTV Video Music Awards. It was filthy. I mean, I don't have cable TV. I just have regular TV. Everybody's getting this in their house. It was like, I mean, I couldn't, I finally had to turn it off. And, you know, mom and dad, MTV is teaching our kids. Make sure you're teaching your kids the Christian faith, mom and dad, that you're doing it. And then make sure you're going to a church where the pastor and the Sunday school teachers are teaching the faith. The reason Jesus gave us the church is to go, is to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. One more thing to say about the church. The church is visible and invisible. Judas, for instance, was part of the visible church. He was one of the 12. And the visible church is everybody that walks in the door of your building on Sunday mornings. But that's not the real church. The real church is the invisible church, which is made up of believers all over the world who truly believe in Christ. You know, if Jesus' little church of 12 had a fake apple in it. You better believe the visible church has fake Christians in it. But the invisible church that only God can see is made up of Christians from all over the world in all kinds of denominations. I thought of this. My dad was a Catholic. He went to church every Sunday. My mom was a Lutheran. We were all raised going to the Lutheran church every Sunday. And I'm 13 years old, sitting in my conservative Missouri Synod Lutheran confirmation class, and I put up my hand, and, "Pastor Ruff, do you have to be Lutheran to go to heaven?" And I remember he paused. "I think there are other Christians out there." That's ridiculous. The Christian church is bigger than Lutheranism. And I think the Christian church is made up of all denominational believers who truly have put their faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe you've heard this joke. A man dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter opens the gate. "Come in, let me give you the tour." And St. Peter shows him to one corner of heaven, and people are worshiping very quietly, very formally. These would be the Episcopalians. Takes him down another street. People are jumping up and down, loudly worshiping. These would be the Pentecostals. Then St. Peter takes him over here. St. Peter takes him over there. Finally, St. Peter takes this guy up 30 flights of stairs to the far corner of the heaven, and he says, "Shh, these are the Southern Baptists. They think they're the only ones here." Now, I make it that joke. I love the Baptists. They taught me a lot. You can substitute Missouri Synod Lutherans or whatever. But my point is, the church is invisible. It's made up of all true believers, regardless of your denomination. One more point about the church. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The church will last until the end of time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." So what I'm saying here, Charles Colson died years ago, but he said this about 9/11. "We lost 3,000 Americans on September 11th. Now multiply that by 666. That's how many Christians have been killed in the Sudan by Muslim extremists. The government of Sudan is trying to stop out Christianity, but you can't." Way back in 1989, the Iron Curtain fell, and some Lutheran pastors and I were able to go into Russia, hand out Bibles in the high schools, the public high schools. You can't do that in America. But an old Lutheran pastor from, I think he was from Estonia, said when he was 7 years old, he went to the post office to mail a letter. When he came back, he discovered the police has taken his mother and father to Siberia. He never saw his parents again. Stalin was brutal. He killed millions. He did all he could to stomp out Christianity. But today, Stalin is dead. The Iron Curtain is down. And Christianity is spreading in Russia. So you can try to kill the church, but like the resurrection of Christ, it just keeps coming back up. Next words. I believe in the communion of saints. Well, what does that mean? When I was young, I thought it meant I believe in taking Holy Communion. That's not what it means. The communion of saints means the fellowship of believers. The word saints in the New Testament is referring to living believers in Christ. So when you say, I believe in the communion of saints, you're saying, I believe in getting together with other Christians. I need my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to be a Lone Ranger Christian. I need the church. A couple days ago, I got an email, "Pastor Brock, I'm a Christian, but I stumble periodically with lust and pornography, and it happened again last night. Am I missing something?" And I wrote him back, and I said, the key is accountability. The more accountable I am, the holier I am. And go to church, make sure you're in a good church. But beyond church, get a good Christian prayer partner who will hold you accountable and at least once a week say, how you doing in that area? Somebody pray for you, etc. Because when I say the words, I believe in the communion of saints, you're saying, I need my brothers and sisters to grow in Christ. So if you don't go to church, find a good church. Next, I believe in the communion of the saints and I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I love that part of the creed. If you were to ask me, Tom, why are you a Christian? I would say, because I need the forgiveness of my sins. Perhaps you've heard this story. I've told it before on the program, but there was a famous Scottish preacher by the name of Brownlow North. Brownlow North, many years ago, he's long dead, but he spoke at a large church in Aberdeen, Scotland. Many people came to hear him preach because he was a famous preacher. But before he got into the pulpit, an old friend handed him this note. Brownlow, I know your past history. I followed you to Paris years ago. I know your career of vice there. I have a record of your life at Liverpool also, and I know how you carried on at Manchester. I challenge you to stand in a Christian pulpit and preach. I dare you to do it. Brownlow North took that letter into the pulpit and read every word. And then he said these words, "My friends, this is all true, and a good deal more than my old companion has written here. But I want to tell you there came a day in my life when I heard the Savior's voice saying, 'Brownlow North, go in peace, thy sins are forgiven thee.' And if there was mercy for me, there is mercy for all of you here." And the story goes that the service did not continue as normal. People started crying. People came up to the altar, confessed their sins. People accepted Christ. People got saved. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah, that's in the creed. Next words. I believe in the resurrection of the body. That means I believe in physical resurrection. The creed does not say I believe in the immortality of the soul. That's what the ancient Greeks believed, like Plato. They believed your body dies, but your soul goes on. Christianity is somewhat different from that. We actually believe in the resurrection of the body. That means our bodies will be raised. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead? He still had the nail prints. And granted, it's a spiritual body now, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And so it's not quite the body that went in the grave, because Jesus, after the resurrection, could pop in and out of doors without rooms, without opening the door. So it was a spiritual body, but there was a connection to his old body. And I think the best analogy, what's our body going to be like on the resurrection day? I think there's going to be some kernel, at least, of connection to our old body, even if we've been disintegrated for 3 years or 100 years. But it will be a bodily resurrection. Not a flesh and blood body, but a spiritual body. I mean, I've had about 30 chunks of skin cancer taken off of me. It's all the minor kinds. My health is fine, but maybe 30 chunks. And my running joke with my Christian dermatologist has been, what's going to happen to me on Judgment Day? And am I going to pop up from 30 places? You know, we laugh about it. And only the Lord knows how he does this. And again, it's not your... God will somehow raise everybody from the dead. Some of this is a mystery. But somebody said this, people who have a hard time believing that, well, if God made him in the first place, don't you think he's got the power to put him back together? Next words, I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe in the life everlasting. That means everybody will live forever. Was it yesterday or the day before I got an email? Pastor Brock, is hell real? Does it last like for weeks or months? Or do people get annihilated in hell? And I wrote him back, hell is real and it's forever. When you go to hell, you don't get wiped out. You don't get annihilated. You're in hell not for a month. You're in hell for eternity. And I get this from Matthew 25, where Jesus talked about eternal punishment. I get this from Luke 16, where the guy in hell is not wiped out. He's begging to get out. There's an eternal heaven, and there's an eternal hell. For all who reject Christ, that's where you go. There is a TV show nationally called American Town Hall. I don't know if you've seen it, but they've got a moderator and then six pastors. They've got like a Lutheran and a Catholic and a Methodist and these six pastors. So the question comes up on American Town Hall, is there a hell? I think maybe half of them believed in hell. That is tragic. The Bible teaches heaven. It also teaches hell. Jesus taught hell. I think if you count the verses, Jesus talks more about hell than he does about heaven. And that's because he doesn't want you to go there. But I got to make this point. When you say the words, as a Christian, I believe in life everlasting, that's a comfort. That's a comfort word for you, because we know where we're going. I mean, what I say to people who are seriously ill, well, if the worst happens, the best happens. Here's a little girl that used to skip through the graveyard every day on her way home from school. An elderly gentleman saw this, and finally one day he stopped her and said, "Little girl, aren't you afraid to go through this big graveyard all by yourself?" And she said, "No, sir, because my home is right on the other side." You and I are going to go into a graveyard someday, but it sure helps to know Jesus, know the forgiveness of your sins, so that right on the other side of that graveyard, you're going to be home. And then the last word of the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the dead, life everlasting. Last word is amen. Do you know what the word amen means? It's a Hebrew word which means truly, let it be so. So when you say a prayer and then end say amen, you're saying, truly, Lord, let that be so. So let's say see if we can put all 5 weeks together. If you saw this, if you missed it, let me review. Every Christian has to have a personal relationship with God. I personally believe in, that means I trust, God singular, Christians are monotheists, the Father, that means God wants a loving relationship with you. God the Father Almighty, that means He's omnipotent, He can do everything. Maker of heaven and earth, that means the universe, you, everything has a purpose. God made us for a purpose, you're made for a purpose. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus. The word Jesus literally means Jehovah saves, and in Jesus Christ. The word Christ literally means anointed one, promised in the Old Testament, the anointed one. So when you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. That means there's only been one incarnation. One time God became a human being. God's only Son, our. That means every Christian is to be part of a church. Go to church if you don't. Our Lord. That means Jesus is God, and He's also our master, and I'm His slave. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That means Jesus did not inherit original sin, so He could be our perfect Savior. He was suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He really suffered as a man to save us from our sins. He descended into hell. It's kind of a strange teaching, but in 1 Peter 3, Jesus didn't go to hell to get punished for our sins. It is finished on the cross, but He went there to proclaim to the spirits in prison. He 3 days later, He rose from the dead, ascends into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Back in the first century, if you're sat at someone's right hand at the party, you were the guest of honor. You had the highest position. God the Father puts Jesus at God's right hand, so He is the highest in the universe. From whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. Every person on the planet will be judged by Jesus Christ. He determines where you spend eternity. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who is God, the Holy Catholic or Christian Church. Every Christian is part of the church if you're truly a Christian. So again, get into church. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. I believe I need the Christian brothers and sisters. Communion of saints, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. The resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. That's the creed. We're going to do one more show on the creed next week on the 8 things the Holy Spirit does in our life. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, why do some people call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost?
Well, it's a reference to the same person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost, but King James Bible is written 1611 in Elizabethan times. You talk about not the Spirit but the Ghost, so it kind of comes out of King James. People who like the King James would probably talk more about the Holy Ghost. Same thing. Call it either. Yeah, there you go.
Should we say in the creed Holy Catholic or Holy Christian Church?
Yeah, we just preached on that. The word literally in the ancient creed is Catholic. Now, it doesn't say Roman Catholic, but it does say Catholic. And it simply means universal. So I have no problem saying I believe in the Holy Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can say Christian. I mean, the church I attend says Christian, but you can say Catholic.
Either or.
Yeah.
I thought our spirits rise when we die, but not our human bodies. Don't we return to the dust?
You know, the book of Revelation talks about the resurrection and people coming up out of the sea being raised from the dead. And you know those bodies have been decomposed for many, many years. So God, in his way, will put you back together. And like I said, people who have trouble believing that, if God made them in the first place, don't you think he can put them back together? So, but again, it's not the literal. It is a physical resurrection. It's not their literal body that they had, but it's got a kernel like Christ. Christ rose, but he was still the Christ with the wounds, but different because, you know, so there you, some of this is a mystery.
Right.
We're raised a spiritual body, it says. It's spiritual, but it's still, in some sense, a body.
So it doesn't matter if you're cremated or buried.
You know, God will put you together either way.
Either way.
Yeah.
Why would God throw someone into the lake of fire?
Somebody wrote me that, so I thought we'd ask that. Some people say, well, my loving Jesus would never send anyone to hell. And I'm thinking, have you read the Bible where Jesus says, I'm quoting Jesus, depart from me, you wicked doers, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And the Bible teaches if you reject Christ, you live a life of sin, you reject Christ, you don't turn to him, you go to the lake of fire. That's what it says.
And basically, don't we choose that for?
If you choose to reject Christ, you're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Some say my loving Jesus wouldn't.
That's the same one.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Sorry. I jumped the gun.
Sorry about that. Why do some churches not use the creed anymore?
Well, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian churches all use the creed. The more non-denominational churches, I think the Baptist churches shy away from the creed. It's not that they don't believe in the Trinity, they do, but some people say, I don't believe in man-made creeds. Well, the creed is based on Scripture. It's just a summary of Scripture. Everything in the creed is there. So we've only got a minute left, Mona. Well, give me one last quick question.
What is the Nicene Creed?
We just went for 6 weeks, or next week too, we're going to end the six-week series on the Apostles' Creed, which is the oldest one before 250 A.D. The Nicene Creed was written in 325 A.D. when bishops from all over the ancient world had to come together to formulate clearly the doctrine of the Trinity because a heretic called Arius was wrecking the church, claiming Jesus is not God. He was like the ancient version of Jehovah's Witnesses. So the Christians, of course, believed in the Trinity before 325, but that's when the Nicene Creed made it even clearer what's in the Apostles' Creed. So we believe in both of them.
Okay.
Well, everybody, thanks for being with us today, and pray for our ministry, if you would, that it'll spread. You can watch all of our TV shows at any time for free at that website, and we'll see you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.